Listen now to the word of God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now go into today's message, a living sacrifice. I would find it very rare for anyone to wake up on any given day, in any given circumstance, and to be able to declare, today I am going to be a sacrifice. No one chooses that. No one volunteers for that. No one wants to be the sacrifice. You know, if anything, if we're honest about our human nature, if we're honest with ourselves, we want others to sacrifice for our benefit, right? So that we can receive whatever reward comes from that sacrifice. You know, we're perfectly happy for others to sacrifice. And in a sense, we almost want that expectation to be placed on others. You should sacrifice, right? So that I can reap the benefits and the rewards. You know, and we know in our hearts that that is very selfish. We know that that's self-centered. But it is a part of our human nature to want that, to expect that of others. You know, I don't think anyone thinks, oh, you know, I would be perfectly happy to lose today so that someone else might win, so that someone else might benefit. You know, I think it takes a lot of effort to think like that. I think it takes a lot of maturity. It takes a lot of spiritual discipline to arrive at a place where you can say something like that. And so, you know, when I wake up in the morning and I start my day, I'm not thinking to myself, today, I'm going to be a sacrifice. You know, you don't think along those lines. You know, that's not something that is natural for humans. But the reality is that sometimes circumstance dictates that you are living a life of sacrifice. And, you know, when I think about that, when I try to think about, you know, where can I see a life that exemplifies a life of sacrifice? You know, often I think of parents who have young children. You know, I don't think it's necessarily an active thought that parents have. They're not waking up thinking like, oh, today I'm going to live a life of sacrifice. But they end up doing so because of the position that they're in, because of the circumstance that's placed around them. You know, they sacrifice their sleep. They sacrifice their time. You know, most of what they do will be for the benefit of their child. You know, it's very rare to see. It happens in this world, of course, because, again, this world is broken. There is sin still that exists in the world where parents are not willing to sacrifice for their children. That's not a normal, it's not a given. It's something that, you know, a good parent does. It's something that a loving parent does. But if you are loving, if you are caring, if you are a good parent, then naturally almost, you just have this sense that, you know, I'm not going to be able to sleep the hours that I want to sleep. I'm not going to get to do today everything that I want to do. There is a level of limitation that is placed on you because you're a parent, because you have a young child, because someone's depending on you and relying on you. And so in a sense, you start living almost without thinking about it, without actively telling yourself that you're doing it. You will start living a life of sacrifice for your child. Why? Because you love them, because you care about them, because you want what's best for them. You're willing to sacrifice some of the things that you would normally do, that you would normally want, you know, some of the things that you might live for. Some of the things, if you think about, man, when I was single, when I wasn't married, when I didn't have a kid, this is how I would spend my day. This is what I would do. But very rarely, you know, would you opt in for that? Would you volunteer for that life? Right? It takes a tremendous level of love. It requires a deep understanding of, you know, your role as a parent, to come to that place. And, you know, in conversation with some of my close friends and just seeing some of the things that they say, it's not easy. It's not like you're just cheerful all the time, like, oh, I'm so happy to give up everything that I want and everything that I live for so that I could parent my kid. And there's a source of frustration sometimes. There's a level of, you know, disappointment and frustration at the life that they're forced to live sometimes because they're a parent. And of course, you know, a good parent, you would want them, or the image of a good parent is one who does that cheerfully, joyfully, you know, smiling. But that's not reality sometimes. Sometimes you do it with your teeth, you know, with grit teeth. Sometimes you do it, you know, almost forced, right? Just out of obligation. And that's okay. Because at the end of the day, the child receives that love. The child receives the sacrifice that you are putting into it. But that, I think, is a very unique circumstance. And it's because there's so much love, there's so much care that goes into a child that almost naturally and without even thinking about it, without being asked, without being forced, a parent will start living a life that patterns a life of sacrifice. But for the believer, for people of faith, that is not something that comes naturally to us. And yet, it is something that we are called to. And that is what today's message is about. That's what today's passage is about. It's this difficult idea. It's this thing that we are supposed to have deep inside of our hearts. It's supposed to reflect, and it's supposed to be expressed through the lives that we live, through the way that we treat other people. And yet the question and the challenge to you today is, do you feel like you are living a life of sacrifice? Do you believe that you are offering yourself, that you are offering your whole self as a living sacrifice to God? You know, there are a lot of things that we do as Christians. And when the world looks at us, you know, when people who are not regular churchgoers, they look at you, they can see a pattern of living. They can see a pattern of behavior. They can see a pattern of action. You know, and maybe they can also pick up on lifestyle choices. Maybe they can also see some of the things that you would abstain from, you know, that normal, you know, people will, that the worldly people normally don't abstain from. And so they can pick up on certain behaviors, certain actions, certain language that Christians use. But one of the things that the world should see when they look at the believer is this life of sacrifice. That you are living a life that is a living sacrifice that is being offered to God. Now, the thing that I started off with is that this is not natural for us. This is not something that we want. This is not something that we sign up for voluntarily all the time. Just like, yeah, you know, I want to be a living sacrifice. And, you know, it seems kind of comical or it seems kind of silly to say, but, you know, if you think about what a sacrifice was in the Old Testament, and the idea is like, do you want to be an animal that gets to graze in the pasture, live a life, you know, raise your young, and live till you're old and gray, roaming the fields and getting to experience a full and complete life? Or do you want to be an animal that gets plucked out, that gets chosen to be burnt at the altar? You know, not because of anything that you've done wrong, but because you represent, your life represents almost a cleansing or forgiveness or salvation for someone else. You know, you think any animal would sign up for that? No. You know, in the Old Testament days, you know, animals are smart and they're able to kind of pick up on behavior. And they knew that walk into the temple, they knew that moment was one that signified the end of their life. So do you think animals like voluntarily were like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm sacrificed. Let me just walk in there. Let me get slaughtered and then let me get burnt. That's exactly what I signed up. That's my dream. That's my boy, you know, that's what I wake up in the morning for. To be dragged into the temple so that I could lose my life so that someone else might gain forgiveness or someone else might be reconciled to God so that someone else might be cleansed. But even animals don't like that. Even animals knew. You know, they resisted. They were kicking and screaming sometimes. You know, they didn't want to enter into the temple. They knew that no one comes back out. There's no circumstance where the animal walks in and then they enter into the temple and it's just like, wow, I'm just here to visit. I'm just here to sightsee. Oh, whoa, what a beautiful temple. What a nice place. And then they get to walk out. They knew that it was one way. You walk in and then you're a sacrifice. And so even animals knew. Even animals didn't want that life. They wouldn't sign up for that. They didn't choose that for themselves. And that's Old Testament worship. Right? That's what the act of worship was in the Old Testament. That your sins, that the sins of whoever was carrying in that sacrifice or bringing in that sacrifice would be placed upon whatever animal was brought, that it would shed blood, that it would be slain. And therefore, the person who brought the offering would be made clean. And in a sense, it was foreshadowing, of course, what we know to be the death, the sacrifice, the offering of Christ on the cross, who had no sin, but was brought, placed on the cross, was crucified, who shed blood so that others might live, so that you and I might live. You know, and that's the price, that's the cost. And Jesus bore that. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, for my sins. He was the sacrificial lamb. And so what Paul is teaching is, in view of that, in light of that, since Christ did that, since God did that, since he allows you to enter his family, to enter into heaven, to enter into relationship with him just by faith in Jesus Christ, just by believing that he is Lord, just by believing that he died on the cross for our sins, just believing that he died and that he rose again, that he is the Son of God, that he is Messiah, that he is Lord. Now, thinking about all the things that God has done for you, that he has given to you, the fact that you could live a life that is so distant, that is so far away. But that moment that you come back and you say, I'm sorry, God. I want to turn my eyes back on you, back to you. I don't want to turn my back to you any longer, but I want to face you. I want to repent for the sins that I committed. That was, you know, my Sunday school sermon this morning. But I want to repent. I'm sorry, God. I want to return to you. The moment that you do that he accepts you. That he sees the blood that Christ shed on the cross, and that he receives you. That there's nothing that you could do to separate yourself so far and in such a way that God would not receive you and accept you back into his family, back into his arms. That there's no level of, you know, lack of faith or lack of belief. You know, no matter how long you've lived your life as an atheist, you know, whether you're, you know, going up and down in your faith right now, whether you're starting to have doubts, you know, none of that is greater than what God did for us when he sent Christ into this world to die for our sins. And you might feel like you're unworthy, but he loved you. He accepted you. He gave you his son so that you might live. And all we need to do is to call on the name of Jesus Christ, to believe in our hearts that he is Lord, that he is Savior, that he is the Son of God, to profess that with our mouths. Right? That's part of what we did in our Bible study this past Friday. And I know that in the Sunday school Bible study today, they also went over that. You know, that's the way to salvation. That's the way to enter into God's family. And what Paul is saying is, in light of that, in full view of that, now having been taught that, you know, in Romans 1 through 11, up to this point, that's the theology that Paul has been breaking down for the community of faith in Rome. And so he's saying all these things that have led up to this point, in light of that, in view of that, What is the response? How are you going to live your life? What are you going to do? And sometimes the answer is like, oh, I'm going to go to church. That's a good response, right? I'm a pastor. I work at a church, right? So that's the answer that I'm supposed to teach you guys as well. Yeah, you got to go to church. That's right. Go to church. Be a part of the community. Yeah, those are good things. But what Paul is teaching is, in light of that, it's got to be something about your life. It's got to be something about your day-to-day. It's got to be something about the mentality that you have as you approach the life that you live in this world, the time that you're given, the places that you are placed in, the people that surround you. You know, God has specifically placed you in a specific time, in a specific place, with specific people around you. Your life is supposed to reflect that you see God's mercy, that you see and understand God's grace. You're supposed to worship God every day. Every single moment of your life is a chance to worship God. Not just on Sundays, not just at this time from 12 to 1 or whatever, you know, these days 12 to 1:20, right? 1:30, I'm sorry. But you know, every chance you get when you wake up to think, wow, Christ died for me. Christ gave his life for me. God so loved me. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son so that I might live. That whoever believes in him might not perish but receive eternal life. That when we have inside of our hearts, when we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we are able to profess that outwardly and show that and put our action behind it, you know, that we are saved, that we are cleansed, that we are considered the sons and daughters of God. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter your history. It doesn't matter how good of a person people think you are. Your reputation does not matter in this equation, because it's what Christ did. It's because of who God is that we are saved. Not by our own righteousness, not being a good person and making good decisions, not based on following the law or following the Christian code of ethics perfectly to a T. No, those are things of our own righteousness. But what Paul was teaching through 1 through 11 is not by righteousness, not by self-righteousness, not by righteousness through the law, not by righteousness through works, not by righteousness through the habit of or the pattern of your life. It is the righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of our Lord, believing that he died on the cross for our sins. The response to that is what we are talking about today. That you wake up today. Not today, you already woke up, right? So to wake up each day that follows and to say, I am going to respond to that mercy. I am going to respond to that grace by being a living sacrifice. It's not an easy life to live. To submit to the Word of God. To sacrifice some of the things that you think you stand for, and to sacrifice some of the things that you normally would do based on your own personality. Maybe even based on the things that your parents have taught you in terms of your view of life and your view of society and your view of, you know, what religion is and what your relationship with God is. A lot of time those things are helpful, those things are good, sometimes they're harmful. It's letting go of some of those things that the world has taught you. Even well-intentioned lessons. Even things that have been taught to you by very smart experts and smart professionals. To lay those things down and to live a life of sacrifice. When is the last time, you know, you truly believed in your life that you were living as a living sacrifice, willing to live for God, willing to represent his kingdom, willing to be a mouthpiece, you know, willing to be a vessel? And we don't want that, right? based on our human nature and based on even American culture and the upbringing that we have, we want God to do things for us. We want to be God. You know, we want God to be the sacrifice over and over again so that we could live how we want to live. And if we could shape this verse, then it's, you know, God conforms himself to the will and the desire of humans. And we'll take what we want. We'll ignore what we don't want. You know, we'll listen to the things that match up with our desires, our goals, our dreams. The things that match with our personalities and what we stand for. But we will reject the things that God speaks that we don't like. We're constantly asking God to be the living sacrifice. You be the living sacrifice so that I could live the life that I want to live. You be the sacrifice. You give in so that I could still be the person that I want to be. So that I can gain the things of this world. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, that's what the relationship with God turns into if we're not careful. If we're not thinking about it, if we're not intentional about the relationship with God, it's so easy to go down that path. I do it all the time, even with my ministry, even with like my own idea of, you know, who I should be as a pastor. You know, sometimes it's like, God, I'm going to do this and you better be there. You know, you better bless me. You better make it happen. You know, and it's so many times my prayer life gets like that as well. Now I want you to bless who I want to be. Would you sacrifice some of who you are so that I could be and, you know, what I want to be? So that I could have some of the things of this world? So that I could have success? So that I could have the things that, you know, this world teaches me I should be living for? I do that to God all the time. God, you continue to sacrifice. Give up some of your word so that I can live according to the Edwin way of life. I have to catch myself sometimes. And I have to remind myself, in view and in light and because of God's mercy, because of what he's done for us, as we look back on the cross, as we look back on his love, as we think about the mercy and the grace that he gives to us, not just on the Christ event, not just because of what he did on Calvary, but the mercy, the grace that he extends to you every single day. The grace and the mercy that he extends to you every single time you repent. The fact that you live a life that is so apart, so distant from God, that you ignore him through the week, and he still loves you. He still blesses you. He still welcomes you into this Sunday service and says, I'm so glad you're here. You know, in light of that mercy, we should want to worship God truthfully with honest hearts. We should give him something that is real, that is genuine. And what is that that we are able to give? It's to offer up our lives. I know that the NIV translation says body, right? It says, you know, offer up your bodies as living sacrifice. I don't even know what that means. You know, I don't even know how to do that. How do I offer my body? What it's saying is every aspect of a human. You know, your physical, your mental, your spiritual, the way that you think, the actions that you take, the relationships that you keep, your perspective on life, you know, what you see as failure, what you see as success, the values that you keep, the ethics that you have, the moral code that you live by, the things that bring you joy, you know, the emotion that you have, all of the things that make you human. All of the things that, you know, we would wrap up into saying, this is what makes us a human being, saying, offer all of that up. And the thing is, we don't like to live the life of sacrifice. We don't want to be a living sacrifice because that's too demanding. It's too much. God, how can you ask me to do that? How can you ask me to sacrifice that much? That's not fair. So you know what Christians do? We kind of twist the words, we twist the idea, and we say, okay then, how about this, God? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your lives, to offer your bodies as a living compromise. Maybe when we reach a level of faith and when we reach a level of maturity, we're willing to give up that much. That's what we're willing to say. I'm going to be a living compromise. God, I'll give you a little bit here if you give me this. You know, since you did that, since you're merciful, since you're graceful, I'll consider this. I'll donate to the church, or I'll be a youth group teacher, or I'll do some Christian service. I'll make lunch for the church. Right? Like, it's almost like the give and the take. It's almost like I will offer to you some portions that I can give you and some things I need to keep for myself. And the climate of current Christianity, the climate of belief that I see in the world around us today, is that in light of God's mercy, in view of God's mercy, because of who God is and what he's done for us, the most that we're willing to do is we say, God, please accept this life. Please accept this body as a living compromise. I will give you some things. I will consider it. I will wonder if that fits my ideology. I will consider whether I agree with you in the words that you teach. I will see whether you represent and your words represent the majority of what is trending in the world today. I will weigh and I will judge who you are against what the world teaches as what is right and as what is good. I will accept you as long as you do not interfere with what I want. I will share your words as long as it's in line with my personal theology, my personal understanding of what life is about. That's not a living sacrifice. That's a living compromise. The sad reality is it even takes Christian maturity to arrive at being a living compromise. Some people, we're not even there yet. We're not willing to compromise anything. We just want God to bless us and we just want to live whatever life we want to live. But sometimes the most that we'll get to and the most that we aspire to, sometimes we think that the end goal is to become a living compromise. But what Paul teaches is be a living sacrifice. That is so demanding. That's so hard. Parents love their children, or they should. And it's still hard to live sacrificing constantly for the benefit of the child. There are still moments where you look back on the life that you used to have before the child and you say, man, why did I have a kid, right? I had so much freedom. I had so much that, there's so many dreams and so many things that I wanted to live for. So many things I wanted to achieve, by this time. And because of my child, I can't do that. I feel so restricted. I feel so limited. Sometimes there's regret. But the life that we are called to, it is that demanding. It is that difficult. That's what it means to give true and proper worship. It's not just the attitude of your heart on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon when you enter into this 1 hour or 1 hour 30 minute service each week. How convenient it would be then, right? If that's all it took to have a good relationship with God. If that's all it took to be seen in the eyes of God as someone who is living a life that is worthy of the sacrifice of his son. But we're called to more than that. And today I'm challenging you with more. It's deeper. It requires something of us. In light of God's mercy, in view of God's mercy, having seen it, having tasted it, having lived in it day to day, you have to offer your whole self. Offer your life, not just parts of it, not just aspects, not just the things that are easy for you to offer, but to offer your life. And not compromising, not just picking and choosing, but to offer your life as a living sacrifice. The Old Testament animal, that worship, it was accepted. The animal died. The animal had to give its life so that someone else might live. We have to sometimes die to ourselves. That's not literal, it's figurative. We have to die to ourselves. We have to allow some of our view of ourself, our identity. You know, sometimes it's the things that you live for. You have to let those things die sometimes. This is true. This is proper worship of God. It's not just dedicating your time on Sundays. You should. You know, I'm glad you're here. I'm very happy to be worshiping with you today. And that is a very important part of the spiritual rhythm that we're supposed to have as believers. But what about your life? What about when you wake up that day? You say, today I'm going to be a sacrifice to God. I'm going to live a life that is completely offered to God. Then potentially your dreams, your goals, right? Potentially even your lifestyle habits and the choices that you make might change. Sometimes there are costs. Sometimes you have to pay. Sometimes it means you have to give up certain things that you like to do. Sometimes it means that you have to give up certain relationships that are unhealthy. Sometimes it comes at the cost of dreams that you had even as a young child. But in view of God's mercy, in view of who God is, and in view of God, what God has done for us and what He continues to do for you and what He is going to continue to do all through the future of your life, and not just your life, but countless generations, the faithfulness that He is going to have to the future generation. Offer your life. Offer your body. Offer your thoughts, your minds, your spirits, your hearts as a living sacrifice to God. That's how we worship God. Not just through praise, not just through prayer, not just through offering on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, but that's how your life becomes a worship to God. God, I want to be a true worshiper. I want to worship you in a way that really gives glory to your name and exalts you. Something that really pleases you. Something that makes you happy. Something that makes you smile in heaven. It's this. Being a living sacrifice every day. Allowing the Word of God to inform who you are. To inform how you should live. To inform the things that you choose, the decisions that you make. Allowing the Word of God to influence your mind and your heart. Living the Word of God. We can probably admit that that's somewhere where we fall short. That a lot of times we just think, these are nice words, these are comforting words, these are peaceful words sometimes. Maybe sometimes we think, I don't even know why I go to church. I don't even know why I consider myself a Christian. But at the heart of who Christ is and what He's done for us, the way in which He loves us, the way in which He calls you by name, the way in which He saved you, that He holds your hand through this life, that He never gives up, that He never lets go, what is our response supposed to be? It's not just offering monetary. It's not just offering resource. It's not just offering time on a Sunday. It's the type of life you decide to live. And I hope and pray that we will aspire, that we will think in light of God's mercy, I want to get to the point where my life is a living sacrifice, that I'm living according to the way of the kingdom of God. It has everything to do with the thoughts that you have, the habits that you have, the actions that you have, the things that you live for, the perspective that you keep. We know this because the next verse is, So do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't do what the world says. Don't cling to this world. Don't think that that's what gives you life. That's not success. That's not what you should be living for. Do not allow yourself, do not align yourself, do not ally yourself with the ways of this world. It is deception. It will lead to becoming more distant in your relationship with God. Do not conform any longer to the pattern or the lifestyle of this world, but allow yourself to be transformed. You are a new creation. You have a new mind. You have a new life. You have a new body. What will you do with it? Be transformed. Don't be the same. Be different, right? Go through that metamorphosis, right? To change your shape, to change, you know, your very nature. That's what happened when Christ died on the cross. He gave us new life. He gave us a second chance. He gave us the ability to live for different things. So why would we continue in that new life to live the old life? Yes, we'll have trouble. It's not supernatural. It's not natural to automatically be able to live a new life. You remember your old ways. The old ways are comforting, right? The old ways still bring you pleasure and still bring you joy. But when you allow yourself to be transformed by the transformative power of Christ, by the transformative power of his death and his resurrection, by the transformative power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, empowering us to be able to repent, to be able to confess, to be able to turn our back on sin, to be able to not be held captive, to not allow sin to be our master any longer, we have a chance at a new life. And what does that new life entail? Being a living sacrifice. To not holding on to the things of this world, to not even holding on to your own thoughts and your own perspectives, but to allow yourself to align with the ways of the kingdom. If God is king and we are his subjects, then we are supposed to reflect the king. We are supposed to listen to his words. We're supposed to have the same heart and the same attitude that the king has. That's what being a good person in the kingdom of God is. Have you been living as a living sacrifice? It says that is what is holy. That is what is pleasing. You know, we say that in our services all the time, to be holy, to be pleasing, to be acceptable in God's sight. If you are a living sacrifice, if you allow your life to be transformed, if you no longer conform to the pattern of this world, that's the worship that we want to give to God. I'm not there yet. I have a hard time with this. It's a struggle for me to each day think I need to be a living sacrifice. But just because it's hard, just because I haven't attained it, doesn't mean, okay, then I'll settle to just live a life of compromise. No, we should set this as our goal. And each day we should be training. We should try to discipline ourselves so that we can live this sort of life. It has to be the standard. And then it says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Then you will have a better chance at understanding what is going on in the world around us. Then you will get a glimpse, maybe, a taste of the way in which God is working in this world. What his plans are, what his will is. And you will see that it's good. You will see that it's perfect. You will see that it is pleasing, you know, even to us. You know, it's when we have the mind of God, the heart of God. It's when we live this life of sacrifice. It's when we submit and allow God to be God. It's when we are on that track that we can see who God is, that we can see and get a taste of what he's doing. That's when we can kind of see and confirm for ourselves that God does have a plan. And we will see that the way in which God works is pleasing. It's good. We're not there yet. No, we're not there yet. But we must strive to get there. We have to start striving to see what God's will is in this world. Otherwise, we might stand against. If we can see the plan, if we can kind of understand God's heart, then we can join together with Him. Then we can partner with Him. Then we can help, you know, make sure that that plan is going and progressing. But if you don't care, if you have no idea, if you have no sense of what God is doing in the world, what His will is, what His plan is, then you're not helping. You might be hurting. You might be standing against. You might not understand. But once we do, then we can join together with God. Then we can really be His hands and feet. Then we can start working and living a life that is working so that His will can be unfolded in this world, so that others can see it as well, so that His plan can come to fruition. As His people, we are helping it unfold in this world. And you will see that it's good. You'll see that it's pleasing. You'll see that it's perfect. And that's who God is, and that's His nature. But until we let go of the world, until we sacrifice some of the things that are so important to us, some of the things that we think we stand for, we will not be able to achieve that. We will not be able to see it. We will not be able to approve or test or get a glimpse of or a taste of the will of God. And as such, it will be almost like things are unfolding despite us, in spite of us, instead of us being on the same team as God, being there to work and to give our lives, to give our time, to give our service, to give, you know, whatever we have, whatever talents, whatever gifts He's given to us, for to allow the will of God to unfold in this world. And that's the type of life I want to live. That's the type of life I dream for, I dream about. And I hope that's a reality for you as well. A living sacrifice. And thank God that He doesn't say just a dead sacrifice, right? He doesn't want a bunch of dead people. He doesn't want a bunch of sacrifice, okay? We should be thankful for that. But how you live your life, the life of sacrifice, the life that uplifts and provides for others, that gives hope to those who are hopeless, that prays the hard prayers that no one else is praying, that stands for God when no one else stands for Him, that is willing to give up some of the things that you think are at the very core of your identity, and to live for God, to give those things to God. That's worship. And I pray that you worship God every day. True, proper, acceptable, holy, pleasing worship every single day of your life. That is something that I pray will happen in my life, and that's something that I encourage you to strive for in your lives as well. Let's take a moment of time in reflection as we are honest with ourselves, with the lives that we've been living or the perspectives that we've been having about Christianity and about a life of faith. And we'll respond in whatever way you see fit. You can either commit something to God, or maybe you need to say sorry to God for something, or you know, maybe you need help. You need the Holy Spirit to strengthen you and embolden you to live a life that is a living sacrifice. Know that it costs a lot. Know that it's hard. Know that it is supposed to be difficult. It's not easy to attain. Let's reflect on these things in whatever way you see fit, whatever wells up from inside of your heart. Let's respond with a time of prayer, and also use this time for whatever prayer requests you have, or anyone, if you can think of anyone that is going through a difficult time who is in need of prayer, would you also use this time to lift them up in prayer as well?